This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Southeast Raleigh is a neighborhood that is historically poor and mostly black. For the past 110 years, the YWCA operated in the community. It had after-school programs for kids, brought food to the elderly, and provided support for teen moms. The programs cost money, and for some time, the Y was spending money it didn't have. In late February, the staff was fired with just one day's notice. Everything came to a stop. Cash Michaels is an editor and reporter for the Carolinian newspaper. He's been following the YWCA story. Cash, welcome back to the show.
Frank, it's good to be back with you.
Tell us what that YWCA meant to Southeast Raleigh.
You know, in the African-American community, you only have but a handful of trusted institutions. Certainly the black church is foremost in that. In the case of Southeast Raleigh, though, the YWCA, which you indicated has been giving us tremendous service for over a century, was one of those trusted institutions in that, given their imaginative programs, cultural enrichment, educational programs, but also programs for seniors, the Golden Oaks program, where seniors 5 days a week could go to the Y. They could spend 4 hours there, get a hot meal, get free transportation, exercise, what have you. Their after-school program, where parents can bring their children and know that they would be safe. It was a place of safety. It was a place where the staff was completely devoted and dedicated to the enrichment of the community. It was that rare place. And so to have it lost in this fashion, where it's just abruptly stopped and folks are just told you don't work here any longer and programs are incomplete, that has been a shock to the system that that the community is still getting over.
Now, well, why did it close?
Well, I interviewed Maria Spaulding, who's the immediate past president of the YWCA Board of Directors. She now is the spokesperson for the board. She indicated that they have been pretty much behind the eight ball financially for some time. And if you check their public documents, you see that is certainly the case. Their fundraising over the last couple of years has gone down while their debts have gone up. What they had always depended on was a number of grants and proposals that had been pending to come through that would, in effect, come and save the day. Well, that didn't happen in this time. They were in the hole too deep, and promises of grants and other payments did not come through in time. And so on February the 27th, their CEO advised the board that they were in very bad shape. They had only three options. One of those options was to, in effect, close immediately by the end of the month, which was in 2 days, February 29th, and the board elected to take that option.
And in effect, this is because they have a legal responsibility to close. If you don't have money and you're obligating people to pay, you can't pay them, you could be facing some charges.
Oh, there's no question about it. And indeed, one of the companies they contracted with, a public relations firm, has reported to already have taken them to court for something near around $60,000 that's owed. So Ms. Spaulding indeed indicated that, yes, the criminal liability for the debt was certainly hovering over them, but she said that they were operating more in terms of where can we find money, how can we head this off, but they weren't able to do it in time.
Well, one of the things, let's talk more about that, because as a board, you do see this coming, and what steps had they taken to avoid what turns out to be a very abrupt closing?
Well, as a matter of fact, I asked her that very question because, Frank, your family, my family, when we know we're tight on bills, we start coming up with a plan A or a plan B because we don't want the electricity turned off. Mm. We want things running. We want utilities going, you know. In their case, though, as Ms. Spaulding had expressed it to me, because that had been the pattern, that, okay, we've got a problem here, but, you know, we've got these grants pending, so, you know, we're expecting payment, you know, by a certain date, that is the only model they followed. They did not do a plan B or a plan C, and it finally caught up with them on February 29th.
What's been the response in the community?
Well, as I indicated before, because the YWCA has been such a trusted institution in the community, it really has been overflowing. I haven't seen the community react to something like this since Shaw University was in trouble back in the late 80s and was about to close as well, until finally the community came forward and helped to save that. Where else can you take your grandparent? Where else can you take your child? When that option is cut off, when that quality of service has been cut off, and the community has been fully supportive of you, when they hear that you were in trouble, but they hear it only after you've shut down. That really is a shock to the system. And when you live in a poor community, and you know, parts of Southeast Raleigh are poor, but you know, a good deal of it is middle class African American. But when you live in a poor area, and all of a sudden another service, another plum that makes the quality of life better for you and yours is taken away from you, it hurts.
The staff, too, we've read, is certainly upset about this, at getting such short notice. They've wanted to meet with the board and get some explanation. Have they been able to talk with board members?
The displaced workers, indeed, or many of them, not all, but many of them did meet with the board in a special meeting Tuesday night at Martin Street Baptist Church in Southeast Raleigh. They designated a spokesperson, Olivia Robinson. I spoke with her on Tuesday as well, and she indicated that for now, they buried the hatchet, that they are going to work with the board as far as trying to help them find ways to have their back wages paid and what have you. They really are in a situation, Frank, where they have no choice, meaning the displaced workers. They say that they know that the board wants to find their wages and pay them, but they just don't know where to look and how to get there. And so, you know, the workers just have to be patient. They don't like it, and they're frustrated, but right now they don't have any other alternative. There has been a fund, however, set up that folks are contributing money to that are able to give them something, some sustenance, until such time that their wages are paid to them.
What about those services that are lost? Are there any other agencies or programs that are trying to pick up the slack?
Martin Street Baptist Church, as I understand it, has picked up some of the slack. I believe there is the Raleigh Nursery is working with the elders, the Golden Oaks program, as it was known, working with them, providing facility for them to continue what services they were being rendered. And also Powell Elementary School has picked up the slack as far as the after-school, the after-school day, after-school care that they had, that the Y had serviced to the community. So for now, at least on a temporary basis, you've had some institutions in Southeast Raleigh immediately answer the call. The Golden Oaks program, for instance, for elders, was only out of business for 2 days before Raleigh Nursery stepped in. That's a good thing, Frank, and I want to make sure people understand that while a part of Southeast Raleigh may be poor, the people there are decent, they have a strong spirit, and when indeed they realize that the YWCA was in trouble, you had institutions like Martin Street Baptist Church, Raleigh Nursery, and others, Wake County School System, immediately answer the call, and I think that's a good thing.
Let's talk about some of the reasons that an institution like the Y can get into this kind of trouble, can have so much trouble raising funds. Here's an institution 110 years old. That means they survived two world wars and several depressions, and they've made it through. What's going on in the world of funding and nonprofits that an agency and an institution like this that's provided so much service is having such a hard time these days staying alive?
Well, keep in mind that we are just coming out of an extraordinarily bad economy. And as you well know, because I know that UNC is not for profit. When you have bad economic times, your contributions, at times drop depending on where you depend on your contributions to come from. United Way is a good example of this. United Way had been giving to the YWCA. Their contributions had slowly but surely dropped over a period of time, so that by the time the Y closed, what they normally got from the United Way was nowhere near what they finally got in the end. The key thing is community support, and that's the one thing that the Y did not do. They got a lot of their grants and stuff from outside of the community, but they rarely came to the community and say, we need you to help to chip in as well, which I'm pretty sure if they had made the case, and see, that was part of the problem here. They never let anybody really know how much trouble they were in. The only way you could find out was to go to their Form 990, which is a public document that they have to file, and actually look for yourself if you knew it even existed. Most people don't. They never let anybody know just how much trouble they were in. And so as a result, when they got into real serious trouble, it was too late to ask for help.
What about the city of Raleigh? It sounds like the YW has been an important institution for that city. Is the city doing anything?
Well, City Councilman Eugene Weeks, who represents District C, where the YWCA is, has gone to the city, and they are trying to develop some options. Let's be clear here that the YWCA, as we knew it, may be gone, and that while various community leadership city officials and the like have been meeting with the board to try to come up with two plans. Number one, how to get you out of debt, and then number two, how to restructure the Y so that you can continue on with your services. Ms. Spalding made it very clear, Ms. Spalding being the spokesperson for the board, that if the Y is indeed reconstituted, it may be somewhat different than what we've known it to be. Many of the services that were provided before may be phased out and new services brought in. There may be a different emphasis. And so they're working hard to get something to pick up the slack to fill that vacuum. But the Y, as we knew it in terms of everything that it meant, if it is reconstituted, it'll probably be half of what it was.
All right, Cash, thanks so much for talking with us.
Frank, good to speak with you.
Cash Michaels, an editor and writer for the Carolinian newspaper. Just ahead, there is talk of war in Iran. Why? You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.